Florence Wright, Pulitzer Prize-winning author, New Yorker writer, playwright, renowned journalist, has plumbed the rise of Al-Qaeda and Islamic extremism, investigated Scientology, detailed the negotiations of the Camp David Peace Summit, and written on devil worship and many other subcultures. Now, he turns his eye to the most controversial state in America, a subculture of its own, which is also his home state of Texas. His new book is God Save Texas, A Journey into the Soul of the Lone Star State, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Lawrence Wright back to the roundtable. Lawrence, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Happy to join you again.
One of the things I love about your work is that it is so diverse. What brought you to the state of Texas, and what interested in you in exploring it in this way?
Well, I grew up in Texas, in Abilene and Dallas, and fled Texas after I graduated from high school. Thought I'd never return. But in 1979, I was writing for Look magazine about the 12 men that walked on the moon, and I was interviewing this astronaut, Charlie Duke, in New Braunfels, which is a little German town in the center of the state. And I found myself at a dance hall that night, and a band called Asleep at the Wheel was playing. A young man named George Strait was opening for them, and it just felt so familiar, the food, the accents, the music, and I realized it really felt like home. And after about a month, I happened to get a call from the editor of Texas Monthly, Bill Broyles at the time, asking if I would write an article for him. But by the time I hung up, I was moving home.
How hard is it to move home?
Well, you know, Texas comes with a lot of cultural baggage. There aren't very many places in the whole country that have such a strong cultural imprint or brand, as you might say, as Texas. I mean, it's universally recognized as a special place. And, you know, and there's a tremendous number of stereotypes that come along with it. When I leave Texas and somebody asks me where I'm from and I say Texas, it's often like saying I cheat on my taxes or something like that, you know. but contrarily, if they push and say, where from in Texas, and I say Austin, they go, Austin is forgivable in a way that Texas is not.
Do you now fully understand why that is the case?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, I left Texas I graduated in 1965 from high school, and 2 years before in Dallas, Kennedy had been assassinated there. And the stigma associated with being from Texas, and especially from Dallas, was so high. And it wasn't fair. I mean, it wasn't as if, you know, yes, indeed, Dallas was a right-wing and an extremist city, but it was not a right-winger who killed Kennedy. But Dallas was taken down in a way that no other city in America was. And I felt very self-conscious about being from Dallas and a Texan. Also didn't think that Texas represented the person I wanted to become. So, yes, I understand where people are getting it. But I also think that the stereotypes certainly, they just don't encompass the complexity and interesting nature of the state itself.
You make the point in the book that what happens in Texas tends to disproportionately affect the rest of the nation. Give us some examples of that and why you believe that to be the case.
Well, first of all, let's start with the fact that Texas really is the future of America. There are 29 million Texans now. It's the second largest state. It's projected to double in population by the year 2050, at which time it'll be about the size of California and New York combined. It's 10% of all the school children in America right now are Texans. So everything that happens in Texas has a national impact. You know, we're responsible for some of the trends that I really regret. For instance, the gerrymandering, in 2003 when the Republicans took over the Texas House of Representatives and were able to reapportion the districts, they carved up the state into almost invulnerable districts for the incumbents. And that pattern was imitated by many other states as well. For instance, in Austin, probably the most liberal city in the entire southern tier of the United States, from Washington to San Francisco, we had a historic congressional district that Lyndon Johnson represented at one time. It's now been carved into six different districts. Austin is now represented by five Republicans and one Democrat. And that's the kind of, behavior that took, over the rest of the country. And, Supreme Court is now hearing many of these gerrymandering cases, including Texas. But the precedent established in Texas has caused a lot of national harm.
You do read this book and you wonder, my God, how did Ann Richards get through?
Well, Ann was unique. People loved her, even people who didn't like her politics. She was witty. She was game, and she set a model for a kind of Texas woman that everybody recognized after that. I remember Molly Ivins, who was another great Texas woman.
She
told me that one time there was a manger scene was set up in the Texas Capitol, and the ACLU filed suit because that was against the Constitution. And so Molly called Governor Richards and said, Annie, is it really necessary to take the manger scene out of the Capitol? And Ann said, I'm afraid so. And it's a shame because it's about the only time there ever been three wise men in the Capitol. That was Ann. She could really, she was a very amusing woman.
When you think of as you said just a moment ago, of Texas as a part of almost everything in modern America, you make the point in the book, oil is still king. But Texas now leads even California when it comes to technology and technology exports.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing to think about, isn't it? Texas has more total exports than California and New York combined. A lot of that is, petroleum products. But, the technology sector is now the biggest sector of the Austin economy, for instance. And Dallas and other cities in the state are also, technology superpowers. So, the state has diversified so much since, we've had, this cyclical pattern of boom and bust because of the oil business. But in 2014, when we had this, cratering of oil prices once again, 70,000 energy jobs were lost in Houston alone. But the Texas economy did not crash as it has in the past. And that's a tribute to the fact that the state has become so much more diverse.
There was an article about the book in Texas Monthly, and they use a line which I thought was funny. Wright's tone throughout the book conjures nothing so much as a series of loosely connected diary entries by a spouse reporting from inside a troubled marriage.
Well, it's not so troubled that I've divorced.
Right.
I came back to Texas. I love the state, but I love it enough to be critical when it needs to, correction. And in many respects, there are things about the state, in particular the political direction that it's headed, that concern me, not just because of the state itself, which I cherish, but also because of the implications for our own national body politic.
Does size enter into it in the sense of California, New York, Texas? These are large states that always seem to have trouble grappling with politics, with corruption, with big issues that take place in big states.
Well, Texas hasn't had there are a lot more corrupt states than Texas. As far as I remember, we've never had a governor go to prison. And I think in Illinois, may have had three in prison at the same time at one point. on that scale, we don't rate. But the thing about Texas and California, I think, that is worth keeping in mind. These are the two biggest states. California is, of course, the largest blue state. It doesn't have a single Republican elected statewide. And Texas is the largest red state. And it has not elected a Democrat for more than 20 years. So, you know, you think of them like that. But when I was a young man, Texas was blue and California was red. Texas produced Lyndon Johnson and the Great Society, and California produced Ronald Reagan and the modern conservative revolution. So these two states, you know, revolve around each other in some way, like DNA strands. You know, the whole country, in some respects, is affected by the relationship of these two mighty states, and their models are very, very different, and yet they're very similar states in many respects. They both are a majority minority, which is prefaces what will become of the country at large. And, you know, California is high tax compared to Texas, which is low tax. But we have, you know, very similar outcomes in many respects. I think of them, California and Texas, as being kind of like twins. You know, of the top 10 cities, the largest cities in America, three are in California, three are in Texas, which means in the entire country, there are only four cities that, of the largest cities that aren't in California and Texas.
Do you believe, that has been suggested, that Texas looks a lot like the America that President Trump wants to create for the rest of the country?
I do believe that, and that concerns me. You know, as I said, there are a lot of things about Texas that I cherish, but I think that the drift of politics away from, you know, if you were going to characterize the Republican Party in the past in Texas, it was business-oriented. And Republican governors and Republican rule in Texas has been pretty sober-minded, and the state has been pretty well-governed until recently. But this drift into social conservatism, which is mainly about, you know, characterized in the last session by this attempt to pass a bill forbidding transgender people from using bathrooms that do not correspond to the gender listed on their birth certificate. That's the kind of thing that has really besmirched the image of the state. And, you know, to be concentrating on that and the show me your papers provision of the Sanctuary Cities bill that did pass, which stigmatizes the 40% of Texans that are Hispanic, this is really a setback for the state. And these are trends that you see popping up in Texas and then being replicated by the policies in the Trump administration.
The book is fascinating. It is God Save Texas, A Journey into the Soul of the Lone Star State. It is published by Knopf. Lawrence Wright, it's always a great pleasure to have you on the program. I thank you very much for being with us.
All right. Well, thanks again. Look forward to talking.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, God Save Texas, A Journey into the Soul of the Lone Star State. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.